Okay, this is a rebroadcast of a shiur that I gave this morning to some of the bacharim at Yeshivat Lev HaTorah. And obviously Hashem in His infinite wisdom wanted me to rebroadcast it because I've thought about what I spoke about today and wanted to refine it anyway. So I'm happy I'm able to do that. Sometimes it's the bracha of the app not working well that I'm able to do that. And the topic was, is having a profession, having a parnasa, where you're going out to the work world every day, something that is seen to be a good thing in Judaism? Is it something that we say, well, it's, you know, b'di'evet? Or do we say, no, it's lechachila? The way the Ribbono Shalom made the Jewish people and made the Avodas Hashem is that we should be learners and earners. We should be someone who does that. And this, of course, based on the Parsha, because if we think about the forefather of Galus, it's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, of course, has the wonderful lashon of Vayetze Yaakov. The Mefarshim asks, what does it mean, Vayetze Yaakov? So the Beis HaLevi writes that Vayetze Yaakov is a lashon of leaving for a reason, leaving because he had to be the one that represented a Galus that we deserved, unfortunately, because of our sins. And therefore, we knew that he left already. Why is it telling us again? Vayelech, it doesn't even say Vayetze. He had to go out. He was like put into a cherem of leaving Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov, of course, in Parshas Vayechi, will go out again. At the end of our Parshas in a few weeks, we'll learn the process, Miketz Vayigash, and he has to live in Mitzrayim. And he says, please, I don't want to be buried there, even though he's the Av of Golos. But really, as we saw in last week's Parsha, the concept of Yitzhak Avinu, recognizing a very fundamental fact, and that is that the Avos represented, as we know, Avram Chesed, Yitzchak Gevura, and that there needed to be a Shvil Hazav. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, and I related this in our lessons from the Lev, that Chesed is Miyamin. It's considered to be, of course, Chesed is the idea of Rachamim. Gevur is mismal. And then there's a concept of Tferes, which of course represents Yaakov Avinu, and that's Be'emsa. But when you're in the Emsa, you're Oiches Shneihem. You take the Yamino small as a Rambam writes the Shvil Hazav, and you go in the middle way. You can't be too extreme on any side. And therefore, Avram Yitzchak was our Shtei Avos HaKadoshim, Chesed meaning Gevur mismal. So Yitzchak questioned whether or not it would be Yaakov or Esav. But then obviously, Yaakov proved through the quote-unquote deception of the Bechora that he was able to have the Shvil Hazav. He wasn't only Kulo Chesed, Kulo Torah, but he was able to take that other side of Gevura. And that's in fact what happens. And I related, of course, as Rav Pinchas says, that the Gemara tells us that they wanted to take out the word Noira after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, after the Golos that we were in, because Godol Gibor of Noira, as we say in Shemon Esrei, Godol Gibor are referring to Avram Yitzhak, and Noira is Yaakov. And Yaakov says, no, 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 no. You can live in both. And in fact, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living in this generation. We're supposed to be living a life where a person is going out and working and being Mekadesh Shem Hashem. That's what we are. And Yaakov, of course, gets that. And we see this because ultimately Yaakov is the one in our parsha who may have come from, not just a Shana Aleph experience or Shana Bet, but a 21, Shana Chof Aleph of learning all that time. And he has this amazing, important dream where the Sulam represents this focus, as Rav Kook said, of being firmly planted on the ground, understanding what's going on in the world, being part of the world, and looking up to Shemayim. So that no matter what everybody does, it's centered around Hashem. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would relate year in and year out this concept of the menorah, that the shamash of the Torah, do whatever you want, Chovas Olavava says. Science, math, each of the branches, but be centered around the Torah. And that's an ideal of the way that we have to and should be living our lives. We should be going out and getting a job. We should be going out and doing that. That's the essence of who we are as Jews. Rav Huttner, famously in Pachad Yitzchak, in the letters, this has been oft quoted because it's such a gorgeous idea. this letter that was sent by a bacher, Rav Huttner, of course, the Rosh Yeshiva was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik got his first start as a Rebbe there, was a very, very popular Rebbe there. His Rebbe was Rav Huttner. He taught him. It was his Mislama Lamed. And comes along Rav Huttner in this letter and was asked by a bacher. Imagine a Chaim Berlin bacher. He sits and he learns for many years and goes to college and gets a degree and now goes out to the world and he says, what is going on over here? I don't understand. What are you asking me to do? I can't be a learner and an earner. It's impossible. There's two different worlds here. I'm living a double life. I'm steiging, you know, I get home and I do a daf yomi. In the morning I daven and I go slow. And then I go to work and I'm a different person. And Rav Huttner clearly is a bit annoyed by this idea, this analogy of a double life. And he says, you don't live a double life. You live a broad life. A double life would be you having two wives. You travel to the United States, you're the CEO of a company, let's say. And in America, you have a wife and you have a family, and then you have the family that's in America. Oh, those are two lives. You know, you own two homes. That's two different lives. But if you own one home, and in one room you use to sit and learn in your little base medrash, and one room you have called the kitchen you eat, and you sing Zmiros at the Shabbos table, and you have a bedroom where you get dressed, and a bathroom where you take your shower. That's broad. It's a broad home. It's not a double life. Look at that guy. How is he allowed to do that? How is he sitting and doing that? No. Says Rav Huttner, he saw when he was in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, he spoke to one of the great Gedolim. And he told him about the great Dr. Wallach. Dr. Wallach, one of the founders of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And before he was going in to give surgery to a person, before he was doing the surgery, he said, I want your name and the name of your father. Mother, excuse me. And he says, why? The patient says, he says, because I have to daven for you. Ani Hashem Rofecha doesn't mean that Hashem gave me the license to practice medicine and therefore it's up to me only. It's up to Hashem. That's the idea. Yaakov Avinu represents what we should be in life. The idea of emes and why Nora is kept awesomeness is that you can only be awesome if you have a job, if you have a profession, and you're mekadesh Shem Hashem at that job. And that's why when we see the Malachim Olim V'Yoridim Ba, says the Medrash, this idea, I believe is Ibn Ezra quotes this idea, that the Malachim too going up and going down because they couldn't believe it. You see, everyone has an image of themselves up in Shemayim. Yaakov Avinu on the Kisei HaKavod. And they were looking at the Kisei HaKavod, and by the way, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says, the Sulam is Gematria of the Kisei HaKavod, also Mammon, Ani, Sinai. We'll get to that a little bit, the Kli Yakar's idea. But comes along Ibn Ezra, and he says, the Malachim couldn't believe it. For the first time, they found someone whose image in Shamayim were the same as their image on earth. What does this mean? It means that they were Toche Kabaro. They were exact as the Rambam's Lashon. They were who they should have been. The concept, as I said, I believe I quoted incorrectly the Baal HaTurim, who says this idea. The Baal HaTurim says, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik shared this idea, and he had the dream. He dreamt. So he says the gematria is Zeki Seyakovod, the Kol, Sinai, Mamo, Ani. He says, what does one thing have to do with the other? He goes, because one's spiritual and one's physical. Says Rav Aaron that a person that lives his life in what he calls Torah Mada is the same idea. This is from Warmth and the Light. He has this idea in his essay on Torah Mada. And logic of the mind and logic of the heart. You have to live your life in both. That's not b'di'eved. It's l'tchachila to live a life like this. Sinai, of course, is the Torah, but it has to be combined with Mamon. And that's why Ani is the same gematria as well. You know why? Because Ani is, well, who are you going to take care of it? The Baal HaTurim is teaching us that when you have wealth, when you have security, everything is well in society, you have to take care of the poor. And this is why he explains, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that the real concept over here is this question of, well, how do we use it? Rav Aaron is very fond of explaining that it's impossible to learn Gemaras if you don't know science. How do you learn Maseches Chulin without understanding biology, anatomy? It's impossible. You can't understand Kiddush HaChodesh if you don't understand astronomy. V'chulu v'chulu. In fact, Rav Aaron insisted, and probably the only Rosh Hashiva that had that in his little apartment in Yeshiva University, when we would travel from Chicago, that he would have Fox News, so we would know what's going on in the world, so he could understand when people asked him Shilas what was going on. And to further illustrate this idea, Rav Aaron says, we see how science played a big role in Yaakov Avinu's life with Lavan. The swindler, Lavan, comes to Yaakov Avinu, and he's tricking him left and right. First, the idea that he made Rachel give the simanim to Leah v'chulu, and he was able to influence the flock. He was trying to be tricked. And it's unbelievable. So the Midrash tells us that he had help of a malach, how to deal with Lavan. Hashem sent the malach. The Rambam says that it's possible in Mar Nevuchim, the malach doesn't necessarily mean it was a malach from Hashem, but a messenger to explain to him what? Science. And only Rav Aaron Soloveitchik could say this. There were different theories. Genetic theories. Lemerick's theory. And Mendel's theory. Lemerick's theory, for example, is repugnant to the Torah, as Rav Aaron said. The outlook doesn't make any sense. Because what does it say? That a change in the body is a result from genes passed on from generation to generation. And therefore, if you're one way, it's because of your parents and you can't change that. Even Eliezer, because he came from Cham, cursed Noach, who was a tzaddik. But we believe that all people are able to do tshuva. And look what Eliezer became. This opposed to Mendel's theory. Because Mendel's theory was that he could trick, if you will, these animals to look in the water, carve speckles and spots on wooden rods, and they look at their image and say, oh, I could be that, because that's what I believe I am. They believed in themselves. And that's the experience of the dream that Yaakov Avinu had. And therefore, Torah Mada is it. That being said, Rav Aaron ends the essay in saying, yes, it's true. That doesn't mean that we have to accept society. We have to be exceedingly careful that if we're part of society, we have to take the klipa out. We have to open the nut and throw that shell as far away as we can. Take the good and take the bad away from it. It's a challenge. Oh, it's a challenge. And we understand why certain sects of our wonderful religion don't want to have anything to do with society. They're scared. They're scared. To walk in New York City in the billboards, it's scary. We gave a shiur last week on Rav Moshe's famous tshuva about just riding on the subway when there's people touching each other. It's not pashut. But the Sulam reminds us of living in both worlds, Yaakov Avinu's definitive notion of this is the way you live. You have to be a learner, spiritual, but an earner as well. And I think this will explain another beautiful idea also from Rebbe Meir of Aaron Soloveitchik, which is the question of why are we called Jews? Correctly pointed out by one of my students, for Yehuda. Yehuda is a very unique in who Yehuda was, of course, as Leah starts to have children. Hapama Odeli recognizes she will have more than any other Shevet. The Gemara says the first to give Hodah. What does that mean? It means she was the first to give Hodah in something that quote-unquote seems natural. I gave the shir today. I'm giving the shir today on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a unique day that we're supposed to give Thanksgiving. And I was very surprised today. I had a conversation with one of my Hasidish companies I deal with, and he was like annoyed with me that I recognized Thanksgiving and I took off on Thanksgiving. We don't have work, even though he was bothering me and calling me on my supposed day off. And I said to him, what's wrong with giving Hodah to Hashem? And maybe on this day, even in our own tefillas, we thank Hashem for giving us America, for giving us health, for giving us wealth, for giving us the ability to serve Hashem living in a country where we're able to do that without any problems, especially based on the Supreme Court's decision today. But the concept Yehuda reminds us of is hodah for everything, for having a job, for living a life, Baruch Hashem, of goodness. But Rav Aaron says, why are we not called Jews? Why are we called Jews? Doesn't make sense. Because the person who gets the title of all titles is Yosef. Yosef's going to be called Yosef HaTzadik. Tzadik. Noach, unfortunately, had that term, but didn't use it well at the end. Yosef works into becoming a tzaddik. But what made him, what gave him that title? There are different reasons that some say. But certainly the most famous, I think, of them is that he was able to withstand Eshes Potiphar. But you know what? Says Rav Aaron, that was abnormal. That was too difficult. That's not a normal person to withstand something like that. The Yetzer Hara, that was, wow. We're not on that level. And therefore, we can't be named for him. Because you know what? The same Yosef sure saw in the image, D'muk yukno shel aviv. Some say it wasn't that he saw his father's image, that he remembered the emes of Yaakov. It's that he saw his own image because he looked like his father. Maybe it was his father. He said, wait, I want to be the same as my Kisei HaKavod. I can't do this. It's not worth it. What's it going to be worth? Fading moment. What's the point? And also we're called Yehuda, as Rav Aaron says, because Yehuda is the one who fails and then gets right back up. Yehuda and Tamar, of course, that incident that is hard for us to understand what happened there. Sexual immorality, but he gets up for it. Similar in a way to what the same type of Yetzer Hara, but he doesn't succeed. That's a real business person. To know that when you fail in business and you're not following, you know, I joked and I said, there's no such thing as stealing a little bit on taxes. That's like being, you know, half pregnant. You're pregnant. You're stealing. But to get up and say, this was wrong, the job that I had, you know what, after the fact, I shouldn't have done what I did. That's not business. It's not right. We're a religion that believes in Tzomech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. Yes, Nun can't be the letter in Ashrei because you can't start off in the Tefillah. You have to start off knowing that there's a Tzomech in the Tefillah, that God's going to pick us up from the Tefillah. And even if some of our business activities, and God forbid, if we fall in different areas within the business world, get right back up. Yaakov teaches that, and interesting enough, Yehuda, and that's why we're called Jews. And yes, of course, we're named after Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, after Yaakov will be named Yisrael, because we are that concept of Emes. And to that, I made a comment, on this idea. And I was wondering, one of my guilty pleasures is a thing called Behind the Bima. And I was talking about this concept of Behind the Bima, the interview they had with Ben Brofman. I grew up in the Five Towns. I certainly know everybody. Anybody knows who he is. He tells the story of Puff Daddy and how he won $10,000 because when he became his lawyer, he told him, I'm available for you 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. He says, six? I think I know math. Seven. He said, no, you can't contact me on Shabbos. He says, what do you mean that you're not my lawyer? He says, okay, then I'm not going to be a lawyer. I don't violate Shabbos. And he famously says that he couldn't believe it. And he was sitting in a bar and he told him about his new Jew lawyer, Puff Daddy says. And he says, he won't take the phone on Shabbos. They said, what are you talking about? A Jew? Call him. So they bet $10,000 that he wouldn't pick up the phone. Puff Daddy said, no, he won't. I know my guy. He's got integrity. And he called him over 100 times. After Shabbos, Ben Brofman sees all the calls. He says, what's going on? He knew that he wasn't in any danger because he was always instructed to call their office. The office will fax him if it's something that he could be Machal Shabbos for. And he calls him. He said, what's going on? And he explains the story. He says, you won me $10,000. Shkoyach, thank you very much. So yes, there is a concept on one hand to look at things that obviously because he's famous and he speaks about, he can't understand that on one hand, we're so careful and medactic in certain things, but so much Lashon Hara is being spread about so many different things. And he says, that's why when I sit in shul, He sits in the front of Beth Shalom. He doesn't want anybody bothering him. Only my grandchildren can sit next to me. Because I don't want them coming up to me saying, "No, what do you think? Was he really guilty? You got a chutzpah." But then we have to ask ourselves, well, is it a Kiddush Hashem? You know, we say in Aleinu, "L'taken alav v'malchut shakai." Someone once pointed out to me that when Tikkun Olam was this big word that was used by the Reform, they forgot to use the rest of it. We don't just do Tikkun Olam and then, you know, sit on a boat and save the whales and v'chulu. No, it's b'malchut shakai. It's helping out in God's image and saying, I want to do better. I want to be a walking Kiddush Hashem. And many people can do that. You know, one of my friends, Rav Judah Michelle, beautifully said in a meaningful minute, and I said, Yoshkech, this is a great comedy. He said, I don't know why you're interviewing me. If you were interviewing a Stam regular Jew, I bet you they have a great story as well. A story how they had challenges and they became a Kiddush Hashem. One of my friends tells me that they became from his family because his father was an audiologist and he worked in Brooklyn with what would later become his partner. And he couldn't understand that this Brooklyn Jew was so nice to him. Here he was, a very non-from, non-observant Jew. And he came up to him and he says, why are you so nice? And a lot of the patients we have, they're nice from people. I thought from people aren't nice. And he became from because of that niceness. That's a Kiddush Hashem. And sometimes they'll tell the story, I didn't even do it yet. That's a Yaakov Avinu Jew. That's living b'shiluva both of MS and Gevura and having it and putting it where it belongs. That's what Rav Hutner teaches us, through living a broad life. Being Mekadosh Shem Hashem, it's something that a Rebbe can't do. And Chas V'Shalom, I'm not saying that that's not a profession to be a Rebbe, but to sit and learn in an ivory tower and to have nothing to do with society and not to be able to give out your Torah, to not earn money, doesn't make any sense to me. To be Mekadosh Shem Hashem and to have a job and to do good things with that job and to show people say, wow, that's a Jewish person. That's amazing. That's integrity. It's a famous story that's told about a Jew who, from guy not that many years ago, it's a real story, and he's signing one of the biggest deals he's ever done, and his boss is super happy with him because he's establishing a rapport with the people that they're doing the deal. It's an international deal. These people happen to be from Japan, and the Japanese people, they're back and forth going, and it's Friday, and now the deal's going to be signed on Friday. And it's that famous short Shabbos like we have now, 4:20 Shabbos starts, he's kvel, 1 o'clock approaches, and he knows he got to catch the 2 o'clock train, and it's not happening. 2:30 approaches, and he says, okay, I can still catch the last train, and now it's 3 o'clock, and he says, that's it, I got to take an Uber home. And now it's 3:15, and this is it. If he doesn't get in now, he's not making Shabbos, and he says, I want to apologize. I know we're almost there to sign the deal. I'm really, really sorry. I can't stay anymore. I have my Sabbath, and I need to leave. I need to be with my family, and I apologize. And his boss, you could see his face. He says, no, we need to just a half hour. It's all we need is a half hour. And he says, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I can't. It's not a compromise thing. I can never start Sabbath late. And he left, walk of shame. Gets into that Uber, and he's going to be no hero because he gets home, and now it's 15 minutes before Shki, and his wife is like, nothing's set up, the Shabbos clock, and the urn, and nobody's happy with him. And he goes through that whole Shabbos knowing there's going to be a call on Motzi Shabbos or messages, and there were plenty of messages from his boss. Call me, calls him. And he says to him, I can't wait till you come on Monday. You're going to get a promotion. He doesn't know what's going on. He says, what happened? He said, when you left the room, when you left downstairs, these Japanese businessmen said, we don't want to negotiate anymore. We're done. We want to sign the deal. If you have somebody representing you that doesn't care about his job and is willing to walk out because of his religion, that's what we want. That's a walking Kiddush Hashem. That's a great story. It's a regular story. He didn't do anything. He didn't quote a Tosfos. That's the way we have to live our life. Tocha Kabaru. Representing ourselves in the appropriate way. And it's such an important concept that we have to keep in mind. Because unfortunately, there's so much Chilul Hashem around us. There are so many articles about this one and that one. And Nebuch, and every so often the newspaper will cover a story and love to cover a story about a frum person and about something they did wrong. And you look at it and you say, oy vey. I got to work my life, l'takin olam, for that, for those type of things. For people not to say, oh, you're Jewish, I don't deal with, I don't deal with that type of Jew. And I think that this is a concept that bears important significance when we think about it. As important it is to learn the halachas, it's important to learn the hashkafa of what it is to be a Yaakov Jew. And yes, working is a very important value that a Jewish person has to make his own money. It's very important. And we see this from all the Tanoim and Moroim. They all had jobs. We all learned about this, that they all had jobs. And later on, even the Chafetz Chaim, although he was lucky not to have to work so much, but had a store. And this was the way that it was. And some of the great Gedolim, whether Rav Aaron Soloveitchik went to law school because he wasn't sure if he would be able to use Torah as parnasa. Rav Bloy, one of the great Dayonim of the Eidah Charedas, was involved in finance. He was the person who would testify all the time when they needed help understanding. And they finally said to him, you got to stop. You got to retire and help us in the Beis Din and become a Dayan. Famously, Rav Kahati. There are so many examples of people who had, and sometimes you're talented and you should certainly get away from your field. Go and teach up. For sure you should. If you can earn a parnasa. But to just think that the spirituality is the only thing and that's it, that's not true. There's a physicality that's part of it. There's a great schus to be able to give stucco. We stand for some Rav Nemitzal. I remember I asked him the Shaila, and my Shana Aleph, I said, why are we standing? He says, Hashem decided that with this person, he's going to test them to give stucco. And we stand up for that person. It's a great concept that we should keep in mind as we think about professions and what to go into. There are different types of lawyers. What type of lawyer will you be? What kind of doctor? What kind of, is this profession going to allow me to be spiritual? It doesn't mean you just go into a profession and say, well, I'll throw it up to the wind and hopefully I'll be able to have spirituality. Chas v'shalom, we never say that. It's very important to have these both concepts and to think of being Yaakov, you know, Jews, to be Jews after Yehuda, with the struggles we'll have just to be, get up and say, Mech Hashem l'chol ha'noflam.